All right, we are in Exodus. But I want to take a side. Okay. Well, we're going to go to the New Testament for a minute. We're going to go to Mark chapter 7. Can't find it. I read it this morning. And those of you that are on the deal will see it. Okay, Exodus chapter 7. I want to start in verse 31. And I want to notice...
Are we in Mark or Exodus?
We're in Mark. We're going to start there. I want to take a side here. You know, we look at Jesus and the struggles that he went through and the Savior that he was. I want us to see how human he was. Now, as you go back through chapter 7 and you're seeing all the challenges that he's had with the religious leaders, how they're trying to trap him and to create struggles, we see his dealing with them and the struggles that would have been to him. We see the people that come to him and they just want to be healed. And a lot of times we look at those miracles and we think that that was the bulk of his work. And I don't really think that it was. I think that was a very small part of his work. We see him feeding the multitudes. And then in John chapter 6, I think, he said, "You're only here for the food." And he didn't feed them anymore. But I want us to see his humanness. So somebody began in verse 31. And I want you to follow along with this passage. Mark 7, beginning in verse 31.
"And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published. And were beyond measures astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak."
I want us to try to get into Jesus' mind here a little bit and recognize his humanness and recognize the struggles. Read verse 34 again.
"And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened."
Talk to me about Jesus' emotion.
His arms are open for everybody.
His arms are open, but there's an emotion there. The outward openness of his arms, that's not his emotion. That's his duty.
He's tired.
He's tired. How many, you know what sigh means? Body wants something. And he didn't come for that purpose. He came to teach. And they just come for some physical thing. And Jesus says, "Be opened." Jesus is so frustrated. You know, as we look at the purpose of the miracles, he healed, okay? Not something unseen, but some physical deformity. The sores instantly disappear. That's what Jesus did, okay?
That's what Jesus did. But he didn't come for that reason. He came to teach them. But what did they want?
They wanted the physical healing.
They cared about the physical.
Like we all do.
Yeah. And one of the things, and we've dealt with this, you know, Kenneth and I was talking about this, I think maybe this afternoon or this morning. You know, we've helped people in the past. And you do your best, and then you find out that they didn't deserve any help. And you almost feel like you're dirty because you helped somebody that took advantage of you. But of course, we shouldn't look at it that way. We're serving the Lord, okay? But the fact of the matter is a lot of people, they just want something, okay? And a lot of times, okay, I'm the preacher, okay? So people come to me. And they, I had this happen just a couple weeks ago. And a guy comes to me and he wanted something. And he says, I'm going to be there Sunday. Well, I've heard that story 1,000 times. And usually if they want something, what do you say? Okay, when somebody does you a favor, you say, okay, I'm going to give you what you want. You know, I'm on board. I'm with it. And in my heart, I feel like Jesus, and I just want to sigh. You know, and you want to help people. And as Christians, we want to help people. But we need to remember, go to John chapter 6. And this is where, see, this was the whole purpose that Jesus was trying to get people to see. And this was a big chapter because you'll notice that in this chapter, basically everybody left him. All of those neat little followers that were there. And they were, they said, food, food, we want more food. We want you to feed us and give us a free ride. That's what it was all about. Okay? And so in John chapter 6, page 89, New Testament. John chapter 6. And, you know, you have to go back and read the whole chapter because there's just so much here. But somebody read verse 63.
It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are the spirit, and they are life.
It's the words, though. He said, you're supposed to eat my flesh and my bones. Drink my blood, I think. What did he? I can't remember the exact wording. He said, except you eat my flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, verse 53. And so, in other words, he's saying, look, I'm not talking about physical flesh and blood. I'm talking about doing what I tell you. Do what I tell you. And of course, you know how people responded to that? Somebody read verse 66.
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more.
This is where the rubber meets the road. Jesus said, you got to do what I tell you.
There's a cost.
You know, that's Luke chapter 9. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You got to count the cost. Any man looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Hey, look, put your hand to the plow and go for it. Don't look back. What's the most important thing in your life? If it's not the Lord's church, you're looking back. If that's not your focus in life, you're in trouble. And I'm glad that as Christians, we can work in getting that focus in place. That's not easy, is it? That's a challenge. You know, because there's so many things that get in our way. You know, I looked at Jesus and I just had to, you know, when I read that this morning, I was just sitting there and I'm thinking, we got to talk about this tonight. And it just kind of, it blew my mind because, you know, Dorothy gets mad if I sigh. You know, she wants me to go out in the cold, cover up the tomatoes, and I guarantee you it's too late in the year. It's not going to do any good to cover the tomatoes.
Our tomatoes are covered.
Yeah, well, ours were too, and they were froze underneath the cover.
I picked some just the other day, and they're fine.
Well, good.
Don't talk to Dorothy.
Yeah, don't talk to Dorothy. I'm recording this, and she'll listen to it, so she'll hear it. But you know what? I can...
and I guess if she hadn't fussed at me about sign, and really, honestly, I just need to do it with a smile. She's my wife and I love her. Okay. But the Lord said I better not be bitter against her. And that's hard sometimes. That's what I got to do as a husband. But the fact of the matter is that when I read this morning, it just kind of blew my mind because I understand how Jesus felt. And I think all of us need to understand that. Guys, don't give Jesus reason to sigh. Put the Lord's first church, Lord's church first in your life and the righteousness of God. So Jesus doesn't need to sigh. I want to live for him and I want to do what he says. And I'm faced with challenges every day. So are you. But we got to keep our eye on the goal. Don't take your eye off the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Go forward. Because in this end, we might have struggles here. I mean, we do, don't we? You know, I mean, you know, I think of the major struggles with Carrie and the chemo and Kenneth. And Kenneth has been going through that for several years. And it's a struggle. It's hard. But man, it's all worth it when you get to the other side if you're faithful to God.
It's just hard for people in our, when you're not directly involved, to really feel.
For people. Yeah.
You feel for them, but yet you don't realize what they're going through.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And this is where I encourage everybody. You know, everybody says, well, I don't know what to say. Okay. Carrie's sick. She just wants you to care, right? Mm-hmm. Just care.
Yeah.
And I think we do a pretty good job of that here. And Shelly, same way, you know. Mm-hmm. She's tired. I've been on Brian's side for years of taking care of wife. And I know how hard that is. And so we just need to care. I'm glad we care here. But I'm going to always tell you that I want us to grow in our caring. Because if we don't grow in it, we'll go backwards. And that's the way human behavior is. And so I will always encourage you, even though I think you're doing a good job, I think we need to grow from where we're at and do better. You know? It means a lot, Kenneth, when people care, doesn't it? Okay, and Shelly, you know, Dorothy and I try to stop by and visit, and of course, then isn't it neat? We build a greater relationship. I love the time we spend together, because then we become good friends, don't we? I love it, and that's what I like. So at any rate, that was free, but I sit there and I focused on that for some time this morning. And I said, well, I got to talk about that tonight. To get it off my heart and to share it, I think it's very, very important. Okay, it's page 72 in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Page 72, and we're going to look at verse 14 tonight. Page 72 in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Chapter, page 72, chapter 20, verse 14. Okay. Yeah, chapter 20, verse 14.
20,
yeah.
14.
Okay. Yes, sir. Somebody read it.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Oh my, here's a biggie. Okay. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I tell you what, we probably should read down through. I mean, here we've got this simple little command. And adultery in the Old Testament is sexual immorality. Okay, it's just, and it includes so many things. As you go down, and I should have looked that up, and I just to read that. So let me do that real quick, just because God explains this passage in others, and so. It's important, I think, that we understand that when he made these commands, he gave a much more detailed understanding of what those commands were. later on. And so, okay, so let me see if I can pinpoint that. I think it's Leviticus. Let's go to the chapter 18. Now, this is a tough chapter to read. But the point that I want to make here is that God gave these 10 commands, all right? But then later on, he kind of explains what all that entails, okay? And so this is one of the places. There's others, but this is enough for now. So Leviticus chapter 18, and we can start in verse 6. And I'm not sure how, because I think it goes quite a ways down, probably the end of the chapter. So somebody just start reading.
None of you shall approach anyone who is near of kin to him to uncover his nakedness. I am the Lord.
Okay, so the uncovering of the nakedness was the way of saying that they were having sexual relations together. Okay, and that's what was going on. Keep going.
The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother, you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife, you shall not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, their nakedness you shall not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for theirs is your own nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, begotten by your father, she is your sister, you shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is near of kin to your father. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is near of kin to your mother. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are near akin to her. It is wickedness. Nor shall you take a woman as a rival to your sister to uncover her nakedness while the other is alive. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is in her customary impurity. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Moloch, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. Do not defile yourself with any of these things, for by all these things the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either by any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. Lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it has vomited out the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, you shall keep my ordinance, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God.
Okay. Now, this is kind of a sampling of God explaining some of these commands, and it's pretty gory details. I don't really enjoy reading down through them, and I don't like the thoughts. But God was very clear in his explaining of that command. And so he went into great detail. This is just one of the places that he's talking about. And it goes into to more detail in other sections of the Pentateuch, which is the Genesis through Deuteronomy. And so at any rate, God is helping them to see what he's actually meaning. And so a lot of times we look at that that Old Testament command about committing adultery, and adultery is simply a married person having sexual relations with somebody besides their spouse. The word there is really not that specific aspect of this, but it is fornication or sexual immorality. And so he goes into great detail to expound on this command in other places there. So this is never a good topic, and we never really want to talk about it, but it is what it is. But so I want to bring it now into the New Testament, because one of the things that we've noted is that the Old Testament, those Ten Commandments were a law for the Jewish nation. If you and I try to live the Ten Commandments today, we're going to be lost. There is no hope of going to heaven if you're trying to live the Ten Commandments. It's not going to make it, okay? If you go back and learn what that Old Testament was all about, you'll see that and see what it says in Galatians, okay? If anybody seeks to be justified by law, they're falling from grace, okay? You fall from grace, that means there's no grace in your life, right? And so, but with that in mind, we look at nine of those Ten Commandments, and we'll find that within the New Testament, guess what? It's the same thing. Okay, it's just not that law, it's another law. So go to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll look at beginning in verse 21. And I want us to note in verse 21 and verse 20, wait a minute, 27, sorry about that, 27 and 28, this transition. So verse 27, somebody read that first.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whatsoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Okay. And so as we look at this passage, you notice Jesus' transition. Read verse 27 again.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery.
So what's he mean? You've heard that it's been said by them of old time.
That was the law.
What law?
The old law.
The old law. He's referring back to Exodus chapter 20. What we know is Exodus chapter 20 in verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, you've heard, you're not supposed to do that. But notice his transition in verse 28. What's it say?
I say to you.
Oh, who's I?
Jesus
is the one that's talking. Okay. And so notice that Jesus helps us to understand that it's not the Ten Commandments. He said that you've heard the Ten Commandments says don't commit adultery. We just read that in Exodus chapter 20. But Jesus said, but I say to you. I say to you. Notice the transition. But now let's read the rest of that. What's the rest of verse 28?
But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
You notice that one of the things that the Old Testament is talking about, the New Testament is coming, it's going to be a law written on their hearts. And the New Testament says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
It's all about intention.
It's intentions and desires. And and this is where the lust comes in place. And this is the reason that if Dorothy and I are walking down Walmart and there's some female that I really would rather not be looking at, because I mean it would promote lust, which I have no intentions of lust after another one.
I start moving this direction and she moves over to the other side of the aisle, so I don't have to look. And I have no desire to lust after another woman. But the thing is, I'm going to do my best to take temptation, because what if I get to lusting?
You've already done it.
I've already committed adultery, haven't I? Is that what Jesus said? Yes. And it's not, you ladies can correct me if I'm wrong, but I talk to a lot of ladies and I hear a lot of things. So I think ladies, you know, you women hear things, and a lot of women talk about sexual things just as much as men do, I think. And so I think all of us have the same desires, but Jesus is saying, look, keep your thoughts in check. See, the New Testament is a law of the heart. And it's a law of freedom, but we freely come to God and say, I want to submit to your will. And when our heart is with it and we are submitting to his will, we're going to strive to do what he says. But if we allow things to get out of hand, And we begin to dwell on things, what's it going to cause?
Your relationship.
Yeah. We're going to have a mental relationship. And it's sin. And this is why, guys, you know, a lot of these filthy pictures of nudity and scantily clothed people that promote lust, I don't think it has any place. You know? The internet is a big problem today. The availability of immorality that promotes lust. I mean, what do we think when we see that picture on the wall? You know, it naturally draws our mind to look. What happens when we see the first time? What do we want inside to do? We want to look again, don't we?
Yep. I think you hit on a key issue, though. We as individuals have to be striving,
yes,
to live that godly life.
That's right.
If we're striving daily, that won't be as much of an issue.
That's right. It's always going to be there, and this is the thing. It's always there. You can't escape this influence that's out there.
Yes.
Yeah. But we've got to be on our toes, because Jesus is saying, look, I say unto you, if it's in your heart, you're guilty. I don't want to be guilty. And the thing is, adultery is still a problem. Fornication is still wrong. Our society, fornication is just a cute, cuddly thing. We got people that live together all the time. But that's not right. God says it's wrong. Okay? And you know, a lot of times I want to ask these people, and so how's that working for you? You know, sin doesn't work well for us. And it could be that people think it's cute and cuddly and great. But what happened to those nations that came before Israel? Did you catch that in Leviticus chapter 18? What happened to those nations that were living in that ungodly ways?
Most of them were utterly destroyed.
They were utterly destroyed, and they were cast out of the land. Guys, I want a good life. But for me to have that good life, I'm going to have to work at following what God says. And that's a challenge at times, because especially in the society in which we live in, you know, that's the furthest things from people's minds. Why would you do that way? Everybody's doing it. Remember, we've had teenagers. What did they come home saying? But everybody's doing it.
Everybody ain't you.
That's exactly right, Wayne.
That's exactly right. You ain't. And that's the bottom line. We mean old parents and we say no. Well,
my saying always was, well, if they all jumped off a bridge, would you jump with them?
There you go. There you go. That's a good one.
I told my kids, so I suppose if everybody was jumping off a cliff, you'd just jump right on with them. And they said, well, no.
Okay, well, I'm out of time. Good class, guys. Thank you.